I love the colorful clothes you wear and the way the sunlight plays upon her head.
Hello, I'm Solazar, and welcome to Good Vibrations Radio, Tools for Transformation, right here on Radio Monterey. Now, quantum physics tells us that we are all energy vibrating at different frequencies, and in Good Vibrations Radio, we bring you information that allows you to change the vibrational frequency of your life. We are your source for everyday alchemy, so you can take the lead in your life and turn it into gold. Well, here we are. We've come to the final days of 2016. We are leading to the end of our year of the nine, our graduation, our completion, our releasing, our letting go. And we're heading into the year of the one, the journey of the self, the union with the all. And as you know, I love me some Day by Day with James Allen. Now, in 1903, James Allen wrote his book, As a Man Thinketh, taking the title from chapter 23, verse 7 of Proverbs, which says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. See, James wanted us to know that what we think about, what we focus on, what we truly believe with a passion inside is what creates the reality that we're in at this moment. But just because we thought that in the past, doesn't mean that it predicts our future reality. Every day when we awaken, we have a new opportunity to reframe our thoughts, our habits, and our beliefs to create a new future. In a Day by Day with James Allen, James Allen's words have been carved up to a little bit for each day of the month, so they're a bit more digestible. And for the 29th day of the month, he says, control your destiny. As we head into this new year, that's a good thing for us to focus on. Control your destiny. A person is literally what he thinks, his character being the complete sum of all his thoughts. You know, there's a fellow by the name of Charles Tremendous Jones who used to be a fairly prominent speaker on the speaker circuit. And he used to say that each of us would be the same person today, 5 years from now, except for the people we meet and the books we read. And in both of those cases, that's controlling our destiny. We have the ability through the people we meet, the books we read, the actions we take, the thoughts we implant to create any future we want at any time in our life. So no matter how you're feeling, no matter about your frustrations for the year or the years or the decades or this millennium, starting right now, begin to control your destiny. One thing I do every day to try to control my destiny is I read from the Daily Word. The Daily Word is put out by Unity, and although I'm not a Christian, what I like is that they give me a phrase every day or a thought that I could use as a guidepost, as a focus for the day, to help get me through the day. So when I start getting that negative thought, I can supplant it with this positive thought. And today, for the 29th, it tells us, I am guided by divine wisdom. So if you're going to control your destiny, remember, you're guided by divine wisdom. What synchronicity? Boy, that Carl Jung, he had it all right, didn't he? Well, that leads us right into our guests for today. We have Ketan Parkin and Carola Eastwood. And Ketan has been giving readings to people of all walks of life and all nationalities for over 35 years. And he spent the past 23 years mastering human design. As the author of the first major book on the subject, he's made it his mission to bring human design to the whole world. And Carola Eastwood has been a human design consultant, teacher, and coach since 1999. She's an author of the monthly column, Planetary Cycles, published by Life Connection, and is a highly acclaimed astrological consultant and intuitive counselor. And the two of them present human design seminars and trainings throughout the country. And today we're talking about the Book of Destinies, Discover the Life You Were Born to Live. So let's welcome Ketan and Kerala. Did I say those both right this time? I keep asking, but that's my human self-doubt. Remember, I was Italian, raised in New York, going to Catholic schools, and so guilt is what I live by.
All right, well, we exonerate you completely.
Oh, I feel so much better.
My name is Carola, and you said it just fine, Carola Eastern. And you got the good fortune to have two people with sort of irregular names, in Ketan and Carola. We're happy to be here with you today.
Ketan and Carola, thank you both very, very much for joining me today and sharing your work with us. Now, it's interesting, Ketan, you have a story about how you were originally told that you would kind of end up with this type of a life path. So could you share that with the listeners, please? So give us that foundation to talk about.
I'd be happy to do that, Salazar, yes. I grew up in jolly old England. I grew up in the countryside on a farm. Did all the right things for a child of that background. I ended up studying engineering. It fascinated me how machines work and how I couldn't fix them. So I learned how to fix them. I came out of university with a degree in mechanical engineering and an apprenticeship completed. So I then started traveling as a troubleshooting engineer. And I traveled all over the world doing all kinds of different projects. I was pretty good at it, but I just came to a point in time in my life where what I was thinking about my life and what I was supposing it was supposed to be just were not matching up with what it was. And I had the good fortune to find myself in India. I went into the ashram of Osho in Pune in India. I spent 11 years in his company. It was just the most extraordinary experience being around somebody that had come to a full realization. And he had thousands of seekers from all over the world that would come to spend time with him. And all of us were seeking. All of us were trying to find out about ourselves, you know, what was the real story behind our lifetime. And he would guide people just quietly. If you really had a lot of questions about yourself, go and visit this man that lives in Mumbai, used to be Bombay. And this man was a shadow reader, one of those extraordinary Indian arts. It was a system that was put together some 3,000 or 4,000 years ago. And this man was able to read me. He wasn't reading my shadow so much. He used the length of my shadow to work out which page of several thousand pages he'd got of different life stories. He opened up right to my page and started reading all kinds of things about me. And it was almost like, you know, he'd been following me around, not only from the moment I was born in this lifetime, but through other lifetimes as well. It was the most extraordinary experience. I was 27 years old at the time. And honestly, you know, the things he told me, you know, when somebody says something and it just rings a bell with you, it's just so accurate. And you can't tell quite how did they get to that point. Well, he got to the end of this reading, having told me all about my life, past, present, future. And he closed up his pages and turned to me and said, I want you to come and work with me because you know how to do this kind of work. Well, I was completely nonplussed. You know, he'd just made my hair stand on end from all the characterizations he'd given about myself. And I sat with his question for about 30 seconds and I said, no, I'm not going to do that. And he just cracked up laughing as though that was one of the funniest things he'd ever heard because he could see exactly where my life was going and I couldn't at the time. And after he finished laughing, you know, he said, well, it doesn't really matter because you're going to do this work anyhow. Mm. And my suggestion is you find some way of reading for people because you've got this gift. You can see what's going on in people's lives and find out how to tell them that. And he said, because in years to come, there's a system that's going to come into your life. You're going to write books about it. You're going to read for people. You're going to introduce to people all over the world, and it's going to change their lives. And sure enough, you know, what was it, 1993, we're talking 14 years later, this system came into my life, human design. A friend of mine sent me a chart. They said they were going to host this man. He was coming from Europe, and he was going to be teaching people about this new system. And I took one look at this chart, and I knew right away this was the system this Indian gentleman had told me about. And from then on, that's been my life journey, is reading for people all about human design. So I wrote the first book on human design in 2009 it came out. That was a 30-year wait from the reading I originally had. Mm.
And I was going to ask you, Carola, how did you end up with this troubleshooting mechanical engineer?
It was just my good fortune.
Oh, I like the sound of that.
Well, that's truly another sort of remarkable story. I had been going about my life, had a very successful private practice, and had a really great life everything that a person could desire, except that I didn't seem to be able to find a love relationship that could really, would become like a marriage, a viable love relationship that would go over time. And so, there was no reason for it, real reason for it that I could see. You know, I was intelligent and reasonably good looking and fun to be with, and, was an interesting person, and everybody liked me, but I just couldn't find the right man. And when I discovered human design, I learned that there was this one thing that I had been doing in romantic relationships, specifically in choosing who to engage with, that was completely opposite to what my human design said. So I began to change the way I engaged in relationship, and I started following my design. And I also, of course, I'm a meditator, and I took it into meditation, and the guidance I got was to just completely let go, put my vision out to spirit of exactly what I wanted in a love relationship, and then allow spirit to bring it to me, which, of course, is right in alignment with my human design. Mm. So that's what I did. And a few months later, I was guided to fly to San Francisco from where I was living in San Diego to take a course in human design that was being taught by, guess who? Shishan Parkin.
Parkin.
So that's how we met.
Well, that's actually wonderful. And I think knowing about the people really helps us get a framework of what's going on. So, Chitian, when you saw the human design from this individual or what he was presenting, what exactly did you find was your piece to explore further with it? How did you build it out? What did you find that it needed more of that you brought to it?
Well, the person who was given the system basically had a nature of someone who kind of liked to keep people guessing. He liked to make complexities where there didn't need to be such. And my great thing, and especially working with Carol as well, is we simplify complex situations. We make them practical. We bring them down to earth. And so for the past 20-odd years, that's exactly what we've been doing, is making human design presentable, easy, straightforward. Anybody can understand it. And this is very much exemplified in my first book, Human Design, Discover the Person You Were Born to Be. And this was picked up by HarperCollins in 2009. It's now out in 11 languages and counting. And people all over the world are just saying, my goodness, yes, we'd heard about this system, people had talked about it, but finally we understand what it is.
Because you made it simple, you made it easy for people to be able to engage with it and learn quickly and readily how to engage with their design.
And, it's an evolutionary tool, evolutionary in consciousness, that is. So people understand their human design, and all of a sudden everything starts to shift for them.
And we want to let folks know that your website is humandesignforusall.com. And they can go there and actually enter their information and get a brief free report to give them a taste of what this would be like. But I wanted to get back to something you just said, because I think that that's also powerful. It seems like the old way of thinking was, I'm the guru, so I retain all the knowledge and you come to me for it. And the new way of thinking really is, we're all the gurus. We need to share things so people can make their own choices by being informed. And that's, in essence, it sounds to me, what you've done with this. is you brought it out, as both of you have said, for everybody to understand.
That's exactly right, Salazar. And that is a beautiful description of what human design and what the Book of Destinies is about. Because it truly is about empowering people to find their own truth within. We all have access to our higher self, to our spirit essence, and we all have access to our own truth. And in the 21st century, in these very complex and quick-moving times, we need a way to be able to quickly tune in to our truth. Human design gives us that way. The Book of Destinies was written, Chetan and I collaborated on it, and it was written to give people more information about that the life that they designed for themselves before they even incarnated. So there is a full page for each person's destiny path in the Book of Destinies.
So how would you define, for those who have either heard the term here or have heard it before, what really is human design for us in a nutshell? What does human design mean?
If you look around this universe, and I don't know, you know, how much of the laws of physics and cosmology one needs to understand, but everything operates by design here. You know, there's these various physics properties that just are evident everywhere. And it would just seem very, very bizarre if we came into this world and we didn't have some kind of a design. It was just a kind of free flow and everything was going to crash into each other and it was all random. So what we see is, you know, with human design, we see there's an exact moment in time, an exact place in space where we enter in. And it marks everything for us in our lives. In a nutshell, human design is a 21st century self-remembering device. It's an essential tool for these times because, you know, the rules have changed. We're not in the Piscean age anymore. There are the last throes of it going on in the world, all these reactions to, you know, let's get back to better times as they used to be.
Make America great again, right?
You know, the fish is dead. It's just, you know, when a fish is dead, it flaps its tail a little bit. So, you know, nothing to get alarmed about. It's just, you know, it's on its last gasp. We are squarely now in the threshold of the Aquarian age. And the Aquarian age says very definitely, one wave above the other. You know, as above, so below. Mm. Whatever one imagines heaven to be has to be enacted here on earth.
And the piece that we always like to share, and I'd like your take on that, is that that heaven on earth is for each of us where we're placed right in this moment. And people need to not be afraid that I have to make heaven on earth for the whole country. You got to do it right here in this place where you are so that we're living our heaven on earth because that's how it spreads.
Oh, exactly right. It has to start with the individual. And, you know, one of the most beautiful things about human design, Salazar, is the very first thing one gets to understand in one's human design chart is this is the design I gave myself for this lifetime. Mm. It would really benefit me to accept it. In the first place, to see this is something that's absolutely perfect. I'm the perfect representation of consciousness in human form. And the moment I accept what it is that my life's about, the very next thing is one can start falling in love with oneself. You know, that one, instead of griping and grumbling about everything that happens, just say, okay, this is the deal. Let's see how I'm going to make the best of this. Let's use my God-given gifts to make the best of this.
I think
and the moment you start falling in love with yourself, then you're in the place to start falling in love with everybody else.
I actually think it's unfair for you to require us to be responsible for our choices. I'm not sure I can wrap my mind around that. But within the Book of Destinies also, and within the human design, you also talk about the life themes. Can you share the idea of the life themes and what they represent for each of us within our human design?
Oh, absolutely. You know, the only game in town here is love. That's the only thing that's happening here in this universe. It's just the curious thing that in three dimensions as human beings, we have some very odd ways of expressing it and experiencing it. But it is the only thing that's going on here. The universe is totally interconnected. So it's almost like what we found in human design is there are these 192 different variations of life themes. There are 192 of these, and each of us have one of these themes for our whole lifetime. And it's almost to say, you know, what is the sunbeam that you rode in on? You know, what was going on in the universe? What's a reflection of the universe for that moment at which you arrived here? Where was the sun? How is it shining on you? And from that, we've been able to put together these 192 different life themes that we've described in full in this Book of Destinies. And when you understand your life theme and you read your life theme and you allow it to settle in, and I would always say to somebody, have somebody read it to you. Transformation happens through sound and silence. It's all very well to read stuff because, you know, then we gain lots of knowledge. But transformation, the things that actually shift within us, happens when we hear things and when we hear the silence within us, when we get the resolution. So these 192 different life themes, they are a description for life on Earth as a human being. And as I say, we each have one of them for our whole lifetime.
We've, in the course of many years, of course, while people are having human design readings, their personal readings with Chetan, often he would read their life theme to them. And so frequently, they would just, you know, they just have tears streaming down their face as they recognize and hear that essential chord, that essential theme for their life that, you know, it speaks directly to their heart and soul. So it's a remembering of what we came here for.
And just to emphasize what you said, the foreword of the Book of Destinies is by Jack Canfield, and he almost verbatim said that was his experience when he heard his life theme and he went through this, that it was such an acknowledgement and awareness, and as you said, a remembering of what his place and purpose was and what he'd been doing through his life. And he found it very, very powerful.
He did. What I love about Jack Canfield having written the foreword to the book is that, you know, it just demonstrates to us all that you can be very wise, you can be up there in years, you can have lived a lot of life and have a lot of wisdom and still get this huge benefit from understanding your design. Jack's had several readings with Chetan, and also from reading your destiny path.
So, for instance, my life theme is the personal life theme of the laws, number one in parentheses. What would be the highlights for my listeners that we could all understand about me?
So, first thing to understand with this life theme is that it's a transformational lifetime. This is not a lifetime of following somebody else's dictates or, you know, finding role models. That you're somebody who is constantly being about transformation in everything that you do. So not only is your life transformational, but anyone that travels with you or works with you, their life naturally becomes transformational too. Mm. And you will have found along the way, some people stick around because they can manage the jumps, but a lot of people, you know, they come and go because your life is always moving on in jumps. That's the first thing to understand about it. What you do with this life theme, Salazar, is you look at situations that are a bit dysfunctional and you recommend improvements or upgrades or rearrangements. So it's just you're constantly rearranging the way that we look at this world, and it's literally that thing of seeing things that aren't working properly, things that are not serving people properly, and you make recommendations of how that can all be rearranged. That's a nutshell of that, of your particular life theme.
Well, thank you for that. And that, for those who know me, that they would see and recognize me in that. So at least I've been somewhat congruent to my life theme. I'll have to study it more. I was very impressed. And I want to let folks know it's very easy to go online once again to humandesignforusall.com. And they'll find that link on the Good Vibrations guest page, radio.com guest page. To go there and enter your information, you can get your free report. You're also offering a special discount on the full report. And then get the full report very easily. And it would be very good going into the year of the one, the year of the self, as well as the union for the all, to have that true sense of understanding, as well as potentially schedule a private session with you to get for more information. So once again, the Book of Destinies, they can go through this and get a sense of all the different types. You talked about the life themes. You talk also, actually, you didn't really talk about the, maybe this is the part that I your basic human design types. For instance, I'm a generator, and there are six types here that I saw?
There are five types.
Five types. There you go. And so each of the types is like a foundational quality, and then it seems like the life themes branch out for that and then add kind of the harmony to that foundational quality.
So yes, I mean, part of what became very evident to us with human design is in the effort to simplify things and give people things that they can actually not only recognize but implement into their life, that we came up with what we call the three keys. And the first of these keys was understanding about your type. And as Carola says, there's five of these different types. There are three of them that are very energized. That's the manifestor, the generator, and the manifesting generator. And there are two that are much more in a role of guidance and kind of standing back sometimes and giving their input. And these are the projectors and reflectors. So understanding your type and how different it is perhaps from other people's types or the people around you, it's the first step. The second key is what we call authority. And that is how we each of us make decisions that are right for us as an individual in any situation that confronts us in our life. Okay. So probably, we've been working with people for so many years, and I know in Carola's group of people that she works with, she's been counseling people, typically finding people working through all kinds of bad decisions that they've made for themselves in life. And, this is one of the magical things about human design, is working out how to make decisions that are right for you in any situation.
Mm-hmm. I started out doing counseling, psychological counseling, and then I transitioned my private practice about a decade ago to coaching. So I do transformational coaching and business success coaching. And what I discovered, and part of the reason I transitioned my practice, is that, yes, there's things we need to heal and complete within ourselves, but there's also a way that we're designed to create where we attract the outcomes that we desire with a much greater ease, with really grace. And we do that by living congruent to our human design. I mean, 46 years of living life and never having found a soulmate, and then learning this one primary thing about my human design, which was the second key, Shatan was talking about authority, and that shifted everything, and within months, I had my soulmate right there in my life with me. I mean, it's huge. It's powerful. And one thing I discovered in working with people, whether, it was in my counseling practice or now my coaching practice, is that most of the pain that we experience in life comes from having made really bad decisions, marrying the wrong person or going down the wrong career path. And people spend years, sometimes decades, in pain or unhappiness simply because they made the wrong choice. So working with our human design and understanding our destiny path frees us to live the life truly that our soul intended for us to live. The life we were born to live.
Well, it seems to me that some of what people could get from human design potentially, and please let me know if this is wrong, is what we often sometimes say about having an intuitive insight into yourself. It's just that human design would give us a foundational insight into ourselves to let us know, as you said, Carola, a better way to make choices based on knowing more of who we are and how we respond and react.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I'd say that was a very accurate description.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. I mean, what was written above the gates of Delphi? Know thyself.
Mm-hmm.
And when you know thyself and you know what's going on for yourself. I mean, we very often, kind of comically describe human design as the owner's manual.
Right. It's like our own owner's manual, right?
Yeah.
We have an owner's
yeah.
manual for our car. I even have one for my iron.
That's right. By the way, I wanted to let you know, in a past life, I was turned away from Delphi, and they said, don't come back till you know yourself. So I haven't had a chance to make it back there yet, but...
it's worth a visit.
It is.
It's worth a visit.
It's an amazing place.
Yeah. It's a magical place altogether.
So, but there are multiple layers, and I guess, I had explained that wrong, so and you corrected me on that. So what we've got is we've got certainly a life theme. Then we have the life charts. We have authorities. We have profiles. We have the quarters of the life themes. And what's the best way for a person to take the Book of Destinies and get an understanding of themselves? What's the best way for them to start with this book and then branch out for more information?
Well, started with the Book of Destinies. I mean, people already, it just got released, what, was it a week ago?
Yeah, just this week.
Yeah, on the 8th. And already we're getting a lot of feedback. What happens is that, you know, you read your own destiny path, and it's powerful. It really awakens you or reawakens you to a memory. But then people, the next thing they want to do is start diving in and reading, you know, their life mates or their children's or their friends or their coworkers or their business partners. So it's meant to be one of those coffee table books that you always can pick up and get more and more from.
Mm-hmm.
In the front of the Book of Destinies, we give it just a really brief overview of the main keys in human design, because we feel that it's fabulous to understand our destiny path, and it's a standalone piece of work on its own. However, if people want to take it further and really get to know themselves and learn to use those keys for success, then that next step would be to get the Human Design book, Human Design, Discover the Person You Were Born to Be, or get their full report that you were mentioning, that comprehensive report that we have available on the web. That's a great next step.
Yeah, and I've actually sent one to the transition team for the president-elect, but we'll see if they gain an understanding of themselves.
That would be nice, because somebody needs to help him understand where the garden is that he's seeking.
Yeah, that's right. So let's see. You also call, I'm taking this from, they say, you call human design of science meeting spirituality. So is this where you took your rational way of looking at things, being a mechanical engineer, and certainly then turned it around from your spiritual practice? And as you said, you took the complexity out of it. And what is the scientific piece that underlines the whole understanding of human design?
It was, I think, 1953 that Crick and Watson discovered the double helix. And they discovered the 64 genetic codons in the human makeup. And before that, everyone had been guessing, you know, how does this whole thing operate? How does it come together? It was in, I think it was the late 70s that physicists all over the world were trying to work out what was the mass of the universe from the Big Bang. And it was a puzzle for them, because it didn't matter who applied their mathematical brilliance to it. They came up about 80% short of what they expected. Everybody did. So they put forward a theory of these things called neutrinos. And neutrinos were tiny little particles with a tiny little bit of mass that they fly through the universe at somewhat greater than the speed of light. They pass through everything. And they might be described as the breath of stars. All the stars are emitting neutrinos. It's part of their nuclear reaction. And so these neutrinos come out of the star fields all around us. They fly through the universe. They pass through everything. They come into our solar system. They pass through the planets in our solar system. And sure enough, these streams of neutrinos then pass through us. So these neutrinos coming out of a particular star field with a particular flavor come into our universe, come into our solar system, pass through the planets that have their particular flavors, and then pass through us and go out to the other end of the universe. So human design, basically, what we've done is we've divided the sky up into 64. Astrology goes with 12 signs of the zodiac. Human design goes with 64. And the 64 is a very magical number. It relates to a couple of things that are relevant here. The hexagrams in the I Ching, the Chinese Book of Changes, in which there are 64 hexagrams, each one of which has six lines. And it also relates to the human genetic code, in which there are 64 genetic codons relating with six bases. So from out of these star fields coming into our solar system, the star field in one of these 64 different areas comes into our solar system, passes through a planet, and then passes through us. And as it comes through us, it ignites, or fixes, if you will, one of the genetic codons within us. And so when we're looking at a human design chart, we are looking at a picture of the universe, energetically, in terms of these neutrino streams that log into our genetic coding. So it sounds a little bit far-fetched, but it's actually been proven scientifically. Neutrinos were a theory until 1997, when scientists in Canada and Japan actually qualified that these things do exist, and they do carry with them particular flavors, particular energy sources. So science meets spirituality, you know, the science of the universe combined with our what we've come to discover as our human genetic code, and providing for the vehicle in which our consciousness resides for our lifetime.
You know, and I want to let folks once again know that on humandesignforusall.com, they can also go to find out about your different services. There are reading services, there are training services, but there's also a fabulous blog where you've covered so many different things, and you've got Hillary and Donald and Bernie and so many other things out there for people to kind of get a sense of all that you offer from a spiritual context using your human design base framework. What would you like us to take from the Book of Destinies? What is really the takeaway for all of us from this book?
Life is a celebration. And it seems strange to say such a thing, but life is a celebration. And if we're missing out on the root cause of our being here and how we're playing this game of life, then it's a sad story. So understanding your life theme, this sunbeam that you rode in on, you know, understanding about your human design, how this design works for you perfectly in this life, in any situation, then the celebration can really get on with itself. You know, all of us are faced with challenges. Challenges are an opportunity for our creativity. If you understand how your design works, what your life theme is all about, then you can access this creativity in the best possible way.
How much time would you say it took for you really to develop this to, I guess till now, I guess, from when you started? That's almost a ridiculous question for me to ask, but go ahead.
Okay, there's a point at which you sort of reach mastery with your work. So, you know, it takes years and years and years. It probably takes, 5 to 7 to 8 or 9 years to become a really excellent reader, to master a system, or maybe longer. It depends on, you know, how much you work with it. Once you reach a level of mastery, there's a way in which it's become so incorporated into your being that it's the most natural thing in the world for you.
Hmm.
So, you know, but people engage with human design and with our work on lots of different levels. We have people who study, but they don't want to become readers like Chetan is of human design. They want to use it in their coaching practice or in their counseling practice or in their consulting practice. We have people from all walks of life. We have, you know, business owners from, you know, Fortune 500 CEOs to people who own law firms, to people who own architecture firms, to, you know, to people who are working within what we call or think of as the new age or the new thought movement. The beauty of our work is that it really is anybody can use it. Yes, it's a you could call it a new age tool because it is meant for these times, but it speaks to everyone.
Yeah, I have to admit, I have a reaction to the whole phrase of new age because it's used by so many to almost diminish something, because new age is often ancient wisdom brought up to modern times. And this is a refinement of something that started ancient, was made complex, and is now made more simple for people to understand. So I think it's all ages, but that's just me. I'm just saying me. I'm not. I have that reaction.
No, I totally agree. There's got to be a better term.
Yeah, but people can also go to the website. There is guided self-learning through group classes as well as personalized one-on-one sessions. But we would recommend that people go ahead and look through, get a copy of the Book of Destinies, and then go to humandesignforusall.com and get your brief little report. And if you want more, get the full report, especially now while you're running the special on that. And I'm assuming that it would be okay to start with the Book of Destinies and, as you said earlier, move to the Human Design to get more in-depth understanding. Take the flow that way, or does it matter?
It's totally appropriate either which way, Salazar. You know, it's a complete science. Everyone has their different way of approaching things. But I would say to everybody, you know, the great thing about once you get this knowledge, once you get this understanding, is to practice it. Allow it to be in one's life. You know, so it doesn't matter how quickly or slowly you go with this. It's just, you know, find something about yourself that rings a bell. You know, just like that reading I had in 1979 from this man in India, it was just, it resonated so strongly that try as I might, I couldn't avoid it. I could not dismiss it. And yeah. It's just that thing of, you know, going deeper and deeper and deeper into one's own life experience. And there's no question about Human Design. It's a tool for evolution of consciousness. That's what it's all about.
And what I read from the Book of Destinies, and I'm not quite sure that you said it this way, is that you did start going into different modalities of readings yourself and learning how to do readings, and you did some palmistry and maybe some other things, as if really you took from what he said and you allowed yourself to take steps on the journey, not sure where it was going to take you.
Oh, I had no idea where it was going, you know, yeah. But it was an amazing thing, you know. I said, okay, he's coming very emphatically with this. He's offered me a thing that would only normally be father to son. He was offering this outside person, you know, to join in his family concern in a way. And it was a funny thing, you know, about a week later, I met this psychic palm reader. He insisted on reading my hands. And at the end of the reading, he folded up my hands after having shown me what everything was in the hands. And he said, now, you go and practice this. Yeah. So I went back to this funny little hotel I was staying in, and I was sitting down in this outdoor restaurant with my friends having dinner with them. And I just said, you know, the funniest thing happened today. You know, this man showed me how to read hands. And it took about 10 seconds, I think, before everybody in the restaurant, including the waiters, came over to the table and put their hands out on the table for me to have a look at.
Yeah.
And it started from that. Yes, I've read faces, I've read cards, I've read tea leaves, I've read auras, I've read coffee grinds, everything. You know, I've tried everything, astrology, the I Ching, Kabbalah, everything. And, you know, I was totally clear when Human Design came into my life, this is what I was to work with. This is what this man had told me about. Because it's a synthesis of all the esoteric, all the ancient wisdom traditions. It's a 21st century version of all these different techniques. So it's not replacing anything, but it's just giving a very, very new vantage point.
Well, I think you pointed something out with your story as well, that all of us have a great desire to know more about ourselves. And we don't always know where to go or who to ask. And what you've essentially said is, come to the Book of Destinies, go to humandesignforusall.com, find out more about yourself, and if you want to, go in even deeper. And it's totally up to you, but find out about yourself so you can start following more of a, as Carola did, you go a more congruent path of what is actually your design, your life theme.
Oh, absolutely, so, the case, yes.
Yeah.
So are there any other points or ideas or events that you would like to bring up or mention for the listeners that would be coming up toward the end of the year or the beginning of next year?
Well, I would say, you know, 2017, we've done a program. We do this program every few years. It's called Energies and Opportunities. Mm-hmm. And we describe the whole year coming energetically, what's coming, what we can expect to see, how to take greatest advantage of the energies that are flying around. It's going to be a fascinating year, 2017, for multiple different reasons. We've called it the breakthrough year of inspired, aligned vision and inspired action. And so we're seeing, you know, it's a great year for entrepreneurs. And we describe all of this in our course, The Energies and Opportunities 2017.
We meet monthly, and then we also have a planning guide that goes along with it, and a series of audios that people can listen to that take them deeper into the energies of each month of 2017. It's a really popular program. People love it because we can point out, you know, when the energies are going to be more volatile, when it's a good time to sort of do a bit more planning, go inside, do some deeper work, and when it's a great time to come out, launch a new program or start a new relationship, or, you know, so we're helping people to attune with the moving energies of the time month by month by month. And that's called Energies and Opportunities of 2017.
Right. I was going to say, people can find that under the Personal Education tab of your website. It has the Energies and Opportunities for 2017. They could also sign up for your monthly call by signing up there as well.
Yes. So there's one more thing that we're just so excited to tell you about, and that's that Chetan has been creating a new app, a human design app. Chetan, tell us about the app.
Well, we've been working on it for about a year and a half just to make it something that's really fun to play with. And very, very simple to use, fun to play with, and very informative. And we're just within days of putting out the iPhone version of it. The Android version will follow very quickly afterwards. And it's going to be a free version. Everyone can get it, so everyone can draw up their human design charts from it. And there will be some information that's offered for free along with it, which will be very informative. And then we're going to do a kind of more advanced version for those people that want to look deeper into things. So we're very excited about this. And as I say, we're days away from it coming out.
Well, and I would suspect that that will truly put human design understanding and information right in the hands of everyone, no pun intended, because it will be right there. It will be hard. Even people I know who don't have computers have an iPhone. You know,
exactly.
They don't have. So that really makes it accessible to all of them. So I want to thank you both for taking the time today to have this conversation, to share your work. I love the work that you're doing, and I appreciate you taking the time to explain it to a novice such as me, and also for the listeners to let them know, pick up the Book of Destinies, Discover the Life You Were Born to Live, explore humandesignforusall.com. And they can go and find out about 2017 or sign up for the monthly calls, even if they are not yet the entrepreneur that's bringing in the revenue.
That's right, Balsar. And I want to thank you for an amazing interview.
Yeah, thank you for being
really
such a gracious host.
You really have a gift. No, you truly have a gift. Yes. I mean, we've been interviewed by a lot of people, and I just have to say it's been such a pleasure to interact with you and to hear your highly intelligent and really relevant questions. Thank you.
Well, thank you both very much. Come back and talk again.
We'd love to do that, Salazar. Thank you so much.
Many blessings.
Thank you. So as we close out this final show of 2016, I have a few notes about going forward to 2017. Now, if you heard yesterday's show with Kirilani and Go With The Flow and what she and I spoke about, we also spoke about the energy of this one going forward. And remember, 2017 is a one. It's not only about the individual. It's about unity. It's about the coming together. It's about knowing of the self, because the one is a primal number. The one is the number upon which all other numbers are built. So as we transition from these last few days of 2016 into our 2017, we need to keep in mind that next year is a year of creation for all of us. It's about the doer. It's a masculine, aggressive energy, and it's the energy that's needed to create and produce. It's the opportunity for all of us, regardless of what we've done up to this point in our life, to move forward into the life that we've wanted, the dream that we've desired. The choice is up to you. Now, closing out the astrological energy of this month, we've had quite a few things going on. For instance, let's go back to our winter solstice of December 21st, when the sun entered into the sign of Capricorn. The sun is our life giver, and Capricorn is a capable sign. It's a sign of patience, of earth wisdom, of dignity. It's deliberate action. It's not rash action. It's not leap off the cliff. It pushes us to settle into a well thought out structure, both for our life and what we're choosing to do going forward. So it's a sign of deliberative success by taking deliberate steps toward that success. And then at the same time, since we have a Mercury retrograde that hit us December 19th and is going to continue until January 8th, we may find some of our energy is being lost. But let's move forward from that 21st solstice saying we have now the energy of moving forward in a determined, deliberate manner. And the winter solstice is often an inward turning time to begin with, but it's a return to the light. It's a return to slowly, gradually moving forward, advancing, and heading in the steps of our dreams. And then on the 24th, when Hanukkah started at sundown on the 24th, but we had Saturn in Sagittarius trining Uranus in Aries. Now, a trine is a karmic connection. It's a predestined connection to give us an outcome that we've already self-created in our life, but we just haven't brought it. We haven't manifested it. So Saturn is about control and discipline and fears and challenges. And now you had it playing with Uranus, which is the planet of revolution and change. The uprooting that's done through a trine, through this karmic connection, is done by releasing the old and receiving the new. So it's about allow room to let go and allow room to let in. So it would give us, Saturn would give us the patience to work on the old that remains. And Uranus wants us to spend time on the new. So again, we've got Sun in Capricorn. We've got this energy that hit us on the 24th that said, let go and let in. And then we went to the 25th when we had three aspects. We had Venus in Aquarius trining Jupiter in Libra. We had Venus in Aquarius sextiling Uranus in Aries. And Venus in Aquarius also sextiling Saturn in Sagittarius. So with this transit, we had Venus and Jupiter playing together well. And these are the two most beneficent planets in our solar system. So it's a perfect aspect for the idea of loving, giving, optimistic. It brings in a warm energy. So it made for a wonderful weekend for those who went through it. It also invited Uranus. Venus invited Uranus to the party. And so it came to play in the sandbox, which makes us want to do things outside of our normal routine. It was a great time for those who socialized, who entertained, who just communicated and conversed with others. So Venus, by pairing up with that sextile with Saturn, would also take some of the edge out of Saturn. And so it would allow us to have a more open, convivial time of expressing with people. We can carry that energy forward even though those aspects are past. And then we get to the 26th, which is about Jupiter in Libra having an opposition to Uranus in Aries. Now, even though it's an opposition, opposition usually means these are two planets that are going to fight each other. But when Jupiter's involved, as I said, it's a beneficent planet. It makes things not as bad as other oppositions. So Jupiter is so positive, it lessens the blow of everything else. So this opposition from the 26th was about helping us once again identify those old ways, those old ties, the people we need to release from our life. It's the time to say, you know, am I done with these peeps? Now, it could be permanently or it could be temporarily. But we have to really say is, are we bringing the people to us? Are we associating with the people that help move us forward? Now, by help move us forward, I don't mean that in a manipulative way, because we'll get to that in a minute. I mean that in a way that they are supporting of our direction and our goals and our desires. Anything that's felt repressive or restrictive has to be let go. And as I mentioned, it can just be for now or it can be for all time. Only time itself will tell. But the message that's been coming through since the solstice for all of us is about the let go and let in. We can't bring in the new if there's no room. So we have to find what we can let go so we can bring in the new. Things won't be status quo going forward. And as we go into 2017, things will definitely not be status quo. They won't even resemble status quo. They're going to get shaken up, they're going to get livened up, and they're going to get stirred to the max. So the 26th was really a day of trying to leave the past in the rearview mirror. So much of our stress in life is based on two things. One is looking backwards at the past and dealing with what isn't, what didn't happen, what hasn't happened, what didn't come to fruition. And the second thing that stresses us is looking forward to the future and saying, how can I make it that? How can I do that? Instead of being in the present, taking the actions to lead us to the future. Now, on the 28th, we had that new moon in Capricorn. Now, remember, our sun went in Capricorn on the 21st and the 28th. This is our season of Capricorn. It's our new beginnings, and our new moon, of course, is in Capricorn. So even with our tongue-tripping Mercury retrograde, this is an excellent time for presenting all of the new revisions you've been doing to anyone who needs to know or can be of any help. It's also a good time to start planning for something new. Now, the retrograde will keep us from going too far. We can't make, again, the leap. It's never too late to start the planning. Don't expect to always bring it to fruition until we get past the retrograde January 8th. But it's a perfect time for reviewing, revising, constructing, budgeting, getting your hands dirty while you begin to walk the path to your ultimate destiny. You'll have the stamina, you'll have the discipline, and you'll feel more determined to get ahead despite any current frustrations you may have felt. So fortunately, Capricorn has the patience of the goat. So we'll get through this with this new moon energy coming on top of our sun. You'll get through. It'll be slowly, it'll be persistently, and you'll get through any opposition or any obstacles. Turn inward, listen to your heart, resolve to move beyond the chaos and confusion. This is a great time for resolve and strength and fortitude, and you will get it done. Now today, Uranus goes direct in Aries. It's been retrograde since June, and that's, again, our planet of change, originality, and revolution. Uranus is partly responsible, Uranus and Pluto, for what happened in our election. Our old standards and frameworks were torn down and something new was put in its place. Doesn't necessarily mean it's long-lasting or permanent, but it's really calling our attention to it. Well, now our Uranus is going direct. And this reinforces our energy of blending the old and the new. Some of the old remains, and we need to refresh it, revise it, update it. Some of the old is left behind. And then we have the new coming in. And remember what I said about status quo, the new coming in that is not status quo, that is not the same as what was there before. Anything you touched with your originality will begin to sprout with Uranus going direct. Now, after the tumult of 2016, you may have been thinking about a lot of new and different things when Uranus went retrograde. Actually, I said June, but it was back at the end of July. You've had dreams, you may have had new ideas, yet the time never seemed right. You weren't ready. And anything started before the Mercury retrograde can be brought to fruition even during the retrograde. It may take a week or two for things to be finalized and fully realized. Go forward, make a move, do something in your own benefit. Get on with it because Uranus demands it. Let go of your dead wood, let go of the failures of the past, and move into the new year, considering Uranus a blessing, because Uranus and Saturn and Jupiter and all of them are saying to you, you've got this. All you have to do is do it. Now, on the 31st, on Saturday, our last day of December, Mars in Pisces will conjunct Neptune in Pisces. What does that mean? It means they're sitting on top of each other. So the 9 year of 2016 will end with Mars, our planet of energy and vigor and initiative, who has grown used to breathing in the water of Pisces. He doesn't really like it, but he's grown used to it. Conjoining with Neptune, which is our planet of healing, our dreams, our intuition, and Neptune is the ruler of Pisces, and it's in Pisces. So it's exalted. It's an emotional energy, but it's a calming, healing end to the year. Now, with our fire muted because of the Mars in Pisces, and in some cases drowned, we may feel our drive lessened. Don't allow it to lessen your sense of reality. Let new things percolate. Don't buy into new things. Don't buy into new people or new ventures. Don't push. Don't pull. Don't insist or persuade or be persuaded for anything. You might even feel as if any plans that you're looking at won't be successful or that you even deserve to be successful. Those feelings will pass. It's just the muted fire sitting in Pisces. But at the same time, there's that calming energy as it conjoins with Neptune in Pisces. This is a day of soft endings to the year. Sunday, January 1st, will start the new beginning. So don't feel prey to anyone selling you out. The energy can feel a little manipulative. Guard your vulnerability. Don't be defensive or on guard. Just be aware. So allow the past year to leave with grace and dignity. Don't doubt yourself. Mistakes were made by all in 2016. And further on, further back, who cares? It's done. Look forward to the new beginnings of 2017. Don't plan. Allow yourself to think and dream, watch a movie, read a book, walk in nature, and rest your mind from the practicalities of the physical world. This is the endings of an endings year. 2016 was a year of closure. It was a year of endings because it was about graduation and completion. It was about putting aside those things that no longer served us and integrating those things that continue to serve us. The new year is going to bring much good. Be soft with yourself. Be soft with everyone else. Breathe, relax, and trust. Those are the thoughts for the closing cycle of 2016 going into 2017. For those of you who went on to Good Vibrations Radio and got your preview calendars, you know that we are closing out the first 6 months of the year in the preview. Each day of December has been a week in the first 6 months of 2017. And as we close out today on the 29th, it's about June 22nd and 28th. The 30th is the 29th and 31st, plus a summary of June. And the 31st is our full summary of the first 6 months of the year. And January starts a preview of the second 6 months of the year. Go to goodvibrationsradio.com, download your free preview calendars to look at it. Pay attention to what's going on and what's occurring. And while you're at it, remember to come back on Tuesday, January 3rd, to hear Go With The Flow with Kirilani as we enter into this energy of the one, of this individuality, of the self, as well as unity and union for all. Thank you for listening to Good Vibrations Radio. Have a happy, happy new year. Go out soft, go out gentle, and go out knowing that you deserve. Go to goodvibrationsradio.com to find out how to continue to listen as we shift to a month of podcasts before we broadcast live again. Stay informed. Stay in touch. Thank you for listening. Many blessings. Namaste.
Gotta keep those love and good vibrations happening with her. Gotta keep those love and good vibrations happening with her. Gotta keep those love and good vibrations. Ah, good.
Since December 2nd, Radio Monterey has been on a modified schedule. We broadcast from 3 p.m. to 11 p.m. Pacific Time, Sunday through Saturday. Check the schedule at RadioMonterey.com so you can stay informed with your favorite shows. Thank you for listening.
I don't mind, I don't care, I'll take my time.